Application number DA20040670.06, 386 Parramatta Road, Petersham. And it's to modify determination number 2004-00670, dated the 2nd of March 2005, under section 4.55 of the Environmental Planning Assessment Act, to extend the existing trading hours and to extend trading hours for 12 special calendar events a year. Now, this is at a hotel on Parramatta Road, and it's on the corner of Phillip Street, Petersham, and the site consists of a strata titled allotment with a total area of approximately 1,281 square metres, legally described as Lot 11 SP67608, and it's a mixed-use development with ground floor commercial uses, which include the Petersham Inn Hotel with apartments on the floor above and residential houses and apartments on the adjoining properties. The site is listed as a local heritage item and is located within the Parramatta Road Commercial Precinct Heritage Conservation Area. Now, for this item, I believe we've got several people listed to speak, I think, or do we? There it is. We've got a Barbara Hearn, is that right? And a Giovanni Cirillo. Are they present? Oh, good. Now, but Mrs. Hearn, you're objecting to the proposal. Would you like to speak first? And Mr. Cirillo, are you speaking for the proposal? Okay, you go second then. Right, come forward to the chair there, Mrs. Hearn. Thank you. Don't forget to turn the microphone on. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, I just wanted to... I'll use my letter, the letter of objection to the most recent development application, to summarise. I mean, we continue to object to the proposal, the application for extended hours, even the amended ones. And I think I'll refer back to the Land and Environment Court ruling in September 2017, which summarised that the history of the hotel, given it is in a sensitive location and being in the same building as residential dwellings, simply does not support the modification now sought. We struggle to understand why within 2 years there was another application in the face of such a strong ruling against. But we're in, as you know, after the visit this morning, we occupy one of the townhouses on the corner of Hughes Street and Phillips Street. So that sort of puts us in a funny sort of limbo because we're not part of the big grey complex above. We look like a hotel entrance, but we're not, obviously.
Just put the microphone a bit closer to you.
Oh, sorry.
You keep fading away.
Okay, sorry. So look, in our letter of objection, we noted, and we also mentioned that to you this morning, that the garden section on the L between around the corner of Hugh and Phillips Street is just a dump. And it's littered with bottles and cans, and my daughter has seen somebody urinate through our big windows, which sort of look out onto that corner. And I know the other residents, two previous residents, have had similar problems. And the foyer as well is also used as a sort of a gathering place at night. It's like a hangout area.
Now, that's the foyer, the entry to your apartments.
The two townhouses,
yes.
Yeah. So there's sort of area where they could sort of they hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether... I don't know whether light... Yeah, anyway, I don't know how it's lit. But so that has definitely been a sort of a hangout area where very antisocial behaviour has been witnessed or, you know, seen. But, yeah, so we've got the litter and we've got the hangout sort of area with evidence of, you know, bottles, cans around the garden area, clothing, towels, just general, you know, stuff that, and I think some people, I haven't seen it myself, but there's that they've suggested that there's evidence of some sort of drug use or that sort of activity.
Yeah. And your property is directly adjoining the hotel.
Literally, it's separated by the car park,
drive entry.
The drive-in. So in a sense, I think I heard somebody say this morning, because one of my questions was going to be, we would like a clarification of the amended plan, which suggests that the hotel would agree to provide measures to clean immediate surrounds to the premises on a regular basis. Well, I'd like an in-depth description of what that actually, what area will be covered,
Mr.
and how
Cirillo.
Regular that would be, and who would take responsibility for that.
But, Mr. Cirillo can answer that.
Yeah. And, in terms of supervision and security, again, the same thing. I mean, if the hotel ends on the right side of the car park entrance, is that where their responsibility ends, which leaves us, again, in a limbo? And I think the Hughes Street is a particular problem area. I don't know how that can be securely, how can it be monitored or, what's the word? Monitored. So I guess, anyway, look, that's it. We've got a particular problem on our corner.
Yes.
And apart from that, we just object to the the extended hours.
Okay.
Yes, that's it.
Thank you. Any questions from the panel?
Just one, sorry. having been out to the site this morning, you know, we were mulling over ideas, and I just wondered whether you've ever considered, some appropriate tasteful fencing and perhaps a gate on the front of the property to eradicate that problem, because the DA deals with the site that is the hotel. Formally, it can't spill over to adjacent properties, but it was a thought of mine that, you know, that may be a way of addressing some of your issues.
Well, I had the same sort of thoughts. But, of course, then you've got to overcome the whole planning thing and the heritage thing. So it seems like it's almost insurmountable in a way. That's what it seems like. And, I mean, in terms of strata, there's other issues they're dealing with at the moment. So you sort of don't want to, you know, you're not quite sure who's...
There are only the two dwellings, though, aren't there?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But, you know, the heritage issue, what sort of fence would a fence...
Just a further question. Your two townhouses... Are they separate entirely? They're not on the same strata plan as the apartments above the hotel?
Oh, no, they're lot one and lot two. They're on the same strata plan.
Right, okay. So there is more than just the two townhouses.
No, there are only the two.
Yeah. But I think there's
all the other apartments.
That's separate.
Righto.
That's what I understand.
But,
You know, there are solutions in terms of appropriate
fenestration
and so on. You just have to seek that expertise.
Yeah, how can we?
OEH has a terrific website with contractors and heritage architects and gate makers and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
If you're wanting to go down that avenue. Just a thought.
No, that's a good one then. If that's a possible one. Thank you.
Just one further question. Mm-hmm. When we had our inspection this morning, the strata manager, or the head of the strata body, mentioned that the security guards at some stage or other were quite efficient and everything seemed to work quite well, but that capacity fell away at some stage. Is that your impression of what happened?
I'm not sure. To be honest, I mean, we don't live in the place. We sort of visit on weekends, sort of fairly regularly, and we have people, you know, friends or family staying there. But so we're not there all the time. Whereas my neighbour is, so he would be better
okay. Thanks.
to answer that. But in times that I have been there, Sorry, what was the question again? I'm sort of blanked on that one. What did I need to notice about that?
I was just asking in terms of your observation of the efficiency of the security guards.
Oh, the security guards. They're very efficient, but in Phillip Street, but I rarely see them coming down our way, to be honest.
I understand. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry about that. Thank you.
Now, Mr. Cirillo.
Thank you, members of the panel. I'm Giovanni Cirillo. I'm the applicant, I think, in this matter. I would simply like to say, noting the breadth of the agenda you have before you, that I've reviewed the report in detail. I agree with the recommendation made and thank the officer for their time and attention. Just by way of background, we've been working with the council for about the last 12 months since the PDA to secure the very minor additional hours of only, I think, an hour and a half, four nights a week, plus some special occasions where there are late night sporting events or other events that would make it a busy night for us. The council has been quite thorough in making us do a very detailed plan of management. I don't have it at hand, but the officer will have it. And it also includes matters such as cleanliness and security and also ensuring there isn't a congregation of people outside of the door. The waste is picked up. One of the things we do find in this locality, and I've lived in this locality for the last 25 years, is that it's a fairly robust environment, a very busy road, and waste does collect in people's front yards, including my own. I don't live very far away. And I should note also that this premises doesn't allow packaged or unpackaged liquor to be taken from the premises. Now, how it finds its way into other people's front yards, may I suggest to you that possibly it doesn't originate from us. There are a number of late night trading venues around here. There are also takeaway bottle shops, and there are also takeaway stores that actually sell things that people take away and drink while they're walking down the street. And unfortunately, it does find its way into people's front garden, and certainly I've found that myself living in the neighbourhood. I can say it's, to the best of my knowledge, is it's not originating from us, because we have bouncers that would preclude you from taking any drink off the premises or a drink receptacle from the premises, and we don't have takeaway bottle sales. So I would suggest that although people do experience some impacts arising from these sorts of things, it's very difficult to say where it comes from. There's not a lot we can do for pedestrians that possibly are carrying a drink receptacle on their way home from wherever they may have been that night and possibly leaving it in someone's front fence or in their front garden. That said, we have a fully upgraded plan of management that deals with cleanliness, that deals with security, that deals with operating hours. We had initially submitted our application to include entertainment and for longer trading hours until 3 a.m. In close consultation with council and after an exhaustive search of the file, it was found in the last couple of years since the current operator has been in charge of the premises, there has been a good compliance record, and that the documentation that we have submitted complies with council's requirements. So we're confident that we think the next trial, that, and you would be aware from the file, there was an unsuccessful trial over 2 years ago that was contested in the court. The former operator that was responsible for that was operating late night entertainment and had some nuisance in the locality, particularly with regard to noise emissions. They are not the current managers. The current managers have operated the venue for 2 years and have made it a point to, I think, to limit noise emissions and impacts upon the locality. So we're confident that this trial will be conducted in compliance with council's requirements, and we would respectfully ask for your support, and we thank you for your time.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask a question?
Please.
Mrs. Hearn's concern that security staff don't really go beyond the premises, or beyond the footpath alignment of the licensed premises. For instance, her corner in her front yard, for instance, would be lucky if it's 20 metres away from the end of your premises. But, of course, people coming out of the hotel seem to congregate at her corner for some reason. And your staff, do they go down there and try to keep that clear?
I can take that on notice. My client is here, but to my understanding, you can't, if you like, chase them down the street. But you can deal with them while they are in the vicinity of the premises. But once they've left the vicinity of the premises and possibly are neighbouring, you know, in the vicinity of neighbouring residential premises, you can't continue to pursue them down the street. Mm. What you do do is when they're in front of the premises, you encourage them to leave quietly and not to loiter.
I noticed in the plan of management, you do describe it in the words you've just used, vicinity of the premises. What is the vicinity of the premises? Because me, I would say Mrs. Hearn's place is in the vicinity. But what do you say it is? Because it seems to me that's the interpretation the licensee puts on it. If he's got noisy people, how far does he shoo them away?
Normally, a licensed security officer can't pursue someone once they're not in front of the premises. But they can make every effort to encourage them to be quiet and to not loiter in the vicinity.
Your answer to my question is in front of the premises.
That's correct.
On the footpath.
Yes.
Not on the road or a parking spot. Okay.
Mr. Chirillo, I'm just reading from the proposed plan of management and part 2.7 on security. You don't have a copy, I gather. But anyway, I'll read it to you. But part 2.7, part B, refers to the need for two security guards to be deployed. The second security will be deployed to roam the hotel in the immediate vicinity of the hotel when entertainment is on offer. Now, one assumes that that's correct, that the immediate vicinity hopefully would incorporate the immediate vicinity. The other matter that concerns me is that it seems to limit it to when entertainment is on offer. And part of the submission, of course, from yourselves is that the entertainment will not be on offer. Would you have any objection to removing the words when entertainment is on offer?
Any objections?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I have several questions, and I note the plan of management, and I'm not sure if it's going to be you or the licensee. It might be easier who'll be able to answer it. My concerns are around similar to what we're talking here in terms of LIDAR, moving people on, and we've got actually... Ian, I might leave the plan of management there because I'm actually going to talk to it. There's a few things here that raise for me that are concerns in the plan of management. For example, if the neighbours, and I'll call it the neighbours just generally, are having issues, who is it that they contact? The plan of management talks about, and I will find the exact provision for you. First off, on page 519, I'll just find the exact spot. 3J, thank you. Any issues raised by the Marrickville Police, like Commander Delegate, will be dealt with as soon as practical, intention of dealing it. So we're calling the police when we need to. Any issues, so when I go to K, any issues raised by nearby residents affected by the operation of the hotel shall be dealt with in a sympathetic and timely fashion, with the emphasis on maintaining the hotel's ongoing support in the community. I recognise that what is being asked for here is a one-year trial period to determine whether this can be an ongoing place. I note that in 2015 you did have approval to 3 a.m, then that didn't continue 16-17, so I understand that through the court process, and I'm conscious that if this trial goes ahead, what are we actually intending there by the sympathetic and timely fashion? I mean, for me that is very broad for your neighbours when they have issues. Ordinarily, I would expect to see a phone number and a contact person incorporated into the plan of management, and that is who they call when there are issues. Can we talk to that, or have somebody who may be very familiar with it talk to it as well?
I think it might be relevant to go to section 10.3 on page 531.
Is that the incident report?
The complaints section. So what we do have at the moment, and we're happy to review it as you may require, but it requires any complaints received will be kept in a complaints log and followed up by management. Complaints can be made via email, which is located on the website. A 24-hour phone message paging service has been activated. I think you could probably do away with paging these days, but a mobile phone number, I'm not sure anyone has a pager anymore, has been activated and provides instant messaging to key personnel. So the availability of a 24-hour mobile phone number, which will be answered by the manager, by the licensee in charge or the manager of the bar, would be appropriate. So I'm happy to amend that to get rid of the pager, but this is the original version of the plan of management. Yeah. So I'm happy to update it to that effect. And so it would be dealt with on the night.
Yeah. So, and that's where I'm trying to get to with this. It needs to be dealt with at 12 a.m. or 1 a.m. whenever it is the issue.
You don't want it dealt with the next
and
day.
And they don't need to have a message recorded. No. So that's what we're talking about in terms of timely. Yes, I was going to take you to this provision.
Immediately.
So incorporated into the plan of management would be an amendment to incorporate a phone number and a person's name or licensee.
Yep.
That the nearby residents can contact as required to have the issue addressed.
That's right.
As part of... Sorry, I'll just go back to the other...
So, Cass, while you're looking, so do you mean instead of being responded to as soon as possible, it's responded to immediately?
Yes. If it's at a... I'm talking the late-night ones that are causing the issues. They're the ones I'm really concerned about for the residents having that contact number. And if it's not an immediate one, obviously an agreement can be made between the hotel and the neighbour about we will address that tomorrow, for example, as required or in 2 days, but... That's got to be by agreement. It has to be addressed immediately at 12 a.m. if they're having issues around it, particularly during this trial period, because there's no point having a 35 incidents recorded, which is not going to help you going forward with the submission if you wish to continue this.
If someone's causing a nuisance at 2 o'clock in the morning, you don't really want it dealt with the next day. You kind of want it dealt with then.
Well, they've gone by the next day.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Also, just if you go to page 516, it's 2.6, and it's actually number... Sorry, I'll just find the actual spot. Number 7, I think it is, on page 516. Cleaners are employed on a nightly basis to clean the premises. As part of these duties, they are expected to pick up and clean any litter in the immediate vicinity of the premises. And we expect that to be similar to the above, or I do, where it's used by internal pathway only. Will that be the case as well for the cleaners? Because, again, we've got noise. You raised that earlier that you'll use the internal premises. Would that be the same for that provision?
Yes.
So we can incorporate it into the internal usage only?
Yep.
Yep.
In discussions this morning on site and prior to the meeting, we'd also talked about the need for a register of complaints and that that complaints... register will be available to council and will also form part of the further down the track when you're reapplying for a 12-month extension or to make the arrangements permanent. So wondered if you had any thoughts on that or whether you and the applicant were happy and satisfied that that was appropriate.
It is quite appropriate. Section 10.3, first part, requires a complaints register to be kept in a log. And that would be inspected by relevant regulatory officers, either from the council or from police licensing.
Well,
we'll perhaps just firm that up. Yeah, we'll firm that one up.
Have those words. That's fine.
So at the end of that, any complaints received will be kept in the complaints log and followed up by the management.
And available to the licensing police and council.
And the log made available on demand to the licensing police and the council.
Yes.
And I guess a good suggestion would be that that needs to be sent when you're reapplying to council with the outcomes of the, you know, what complaints, if any, were made and perhaps some input from you as the applicant to resolve those issues.
That's fine.
Thank you. Back to me again. 2.9 F on page 518. We talked there about the usual CCTV footage that's required to be had and it's on receipt of a formal notice, et cetera, to produce. How long do you keep the copies of the CCTV footage for? How long do you retain that?
I think it's 30 days, but I can check.
Yes.
28.
28 days, which is in compliance with the requirements for CCTV footage. I'm just confirming that we do that. So can we have that recorded
yes.
in the retention in accordance with 28 those?
I guess that would need to be extended if there were criminal proceedings relating to incidents and so on. That is there an arrangement for that? Because obviously the police would be very interested to see. It's good for identifying people.
28 days is standard practice, but if obviously the police are involved, then they'll request it at the time.
We might just do it 28 days or as nominated by the New South Wales Police as required.
Of course, that's fine.
It's the standard provision.
Yes.
So that would be an amendment?
Yes.
Just one other part, and it's not in reference to here, but it's in reference to conversations earlier today as well. And I note your point that we don't know where the sales of the beer are coming from in the bottles. And it usually is, I have to say, in a number of cases where people are actually walking to the premises and finishing their drink on their walk and putting the bottles down before they enter your premises. So I do recognise that as well as an issue too. But also drug paraphernalia was also advised in a number of circumstances being at the front of the premises and around that. What I'm wondering is about how you can manage, it's about the management obviously of security guards as well, and when you're security personnel, it's about how we disperse the people from the front of the premises. Part of the aspects for me is about how we better disperse away from that side street, which is a number of where the number of the issues are, and up the laneway that's just behind the place, and I don't know the name of that laneway, I didn't get to find that out. Sorry? Thank you very much, Hughes Lane. As to whether we can better disperse and have conversations with our security staff to disperse more towards Parramatta Road and away from the area as we would ordinarily expect being the main thoroughfare. Would that be possible at all to... I know it's not. We don't need to include that in the plan, but from my perspective, I think that would address some of the issues that may be coming forward here.
I think ordinarily one security officers would encourage you to disperse on the along the main road. The problem is at a certain point they do become pedestrians.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. That's an issue. Mm-hmm. I don't think as much else we can do.
All right. Well, look, it sounds as though we have... You've seen the draft report, haven't you? And that doesn't give you a 3 a.m. time. It gives you 1:30 a.m. for the period of the trial. And I think the panel's more or less agreed on that as appropriate. We noticed the 10 special nights that you're asking for exemptions, you've actually listed 11. And during the trial period, there won't be a World Cup final.
Sorry about that.
So we're deleting that. We're going to just leave it at with the FA Cup final. I'm sure it would be.
Are there any Women's World Cup final scheduled for next year that might fit the bill?
If there are, I'll be in contact.
Now, these amendments to the plan of management, we're going to have to virtually dictate them now during this meeting, because I don't think we'd given them to anybody previously. But we did have some changes, I think. Officer, if you could put them up and so that we can work on them. Did we? Did we give them to you? No, I didn't think so. That's another matter.
Okay.
Now, William, you have got some, haven't you? Because we had problems with the way the recommendation was worded, in that there was one condition that was in Part A of the original consent and another condition that was in Part B and it hadn't been highlighted. Isn't that right, Adele? I've got it written here. But see, the following condition being amended to read. Then you've got 1A. Now, that was from Part A of the original consent, I thought. And then the condition 16 is from Part B, isn't it?
Page 496.
Page 496. And I thought we had that dictated previously because it was just a technical correction. We didn't. And then, of course, we had to delete the World Cup final there
men's.
As well. Men's. If you must. We don't have that already, do we? Oh, okay.
That discussion was down to the former Ashfield University.
That's right.
Was it? Well, I've got it written here when we discussed it. We must have been on different agendas.
Different wavelengths.
Well, tell me, where is the original decision that I can look at that 1A applies to?
The original conditions are on page
539. There you are. See part A, first schedule part A, and then turn over the page as part B. Now, in part A, there's no condition 16, so it must be part B.
Yep, got you.
And then the only question is this new condition 1A, does it replace condition 1 on page 539?
So condition 1A, that's referred to on page 496, replaces condition 1 on page 539, which is under part A of the original consent.
Right. Okay. Can I, well, look, officer, I'll just dictate that if you can. I'll go through the first part of the decision, which is A, capital A. Now, you don't have to type this. You should already have it. That the Inner West Local Planning Panel has a consent authority pursuant to section 4.55 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979, approve application number DA 2004-00670.06 to modify determination number DA 2004-00670 to extend the existing trading hours for the premises in a limited capacity, pub and gaming operations only, until 1:30 a.m. on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and 10 special calendar events on a trial basis for 1 year at 386 Parramatta Road, Petersham, subject to the modified conditions listed in attachment A to this decision. Going to attachment A, after the first change, which is Romans 1, that the following conditions being amended to read, insert in capitals the subheading part A before condition 1A. And then condition 1A replaces condition 1 in the original document. Now, is that correct, officer? That's fine. Then insert part all capitals, part B, prior to the amended condition 16. And in 16 Romans 2, delete the words World Cup final in brackets soccer. No. Thank you. Now we go to the plan of management. So we'll say plan of management. Good, thank you. Now, can I read out the ones I've got, and you can correct me if I'm wrong?
All right.
Yeah. Clause 2.7 in capital in brackets B. Delete the words when entertainment is on offer, end quote. Is that right?
Yep.
Yes, that's correct.
Yep.
in clause 10.3, add after the word in bracket, in quote, management, end quote, on the first line, add the following, quote, and made available on demand by police and or the council. Where are we at? And made available on demand by police and slash or council, end quote.
Could we just add another sentence?
Yes, if you like.
Yeah, that the complaints register form part of the applicant's submissions to council. Council for extending
for any extension for after any the extension. Year's trial.
Yeah, extending the
extension request.
Do you want to
request after the trial?
After the 12-month trial.
And yeah. Demand to police, not by police. Demand to demand available.
On demand. Oh, is it? And demand to police, not by police. Okay, thank you. Now, we're still going on clause 10.3. You can put a full stop after trial, go to the next paragraph, and I'll say, delete after the words, quote, phone messaging paging service, end quote. Phone messaging paging service. End quote, and replace with the words, quote, mobile phone number, end quote. And then delete, next line, delete the words as soon as possible, end quote. And replace with, quote, immediately during night hours, end quote.
Can I just add something after the words mobile phone number?
Yes.
Something along the lines that it's received, you know, it's not got an answering machine on it. How do you word that?
Without any answering machine?
Yeah, that is manned, that is personed 24 hours a day. It is personed 24 hours a day.
All right, that's good. Is now,
answered 24 hours a day would be a better way.
Okay, answered 24 hours.
Oh, no,
okay,
a machine right. Can answer.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. All right.
Person. Can I suggest
staffed?
Personally.
Staffed, all right.
How clinical.
Thank you. Now, I'm sure I didn't get them all, so what have I missed?
We'll see, some of them link across, so I was just double-checking for you.
Mm-hmm.
On page 518, 2.9E, the CCT recording equipment must be stored in a secure place by management to ensure the integrity of recordings.
You might have to go slower.
Okay. No, I'm reading what's already there.
Oh, right.
And then just another sentence that this... video, what is it?
Mm.
The recordings be retained for a minimum 28 days and supplied to the police as required for criminal investigation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what else have I missed?
We got this one, didn't we? Yeah, we got that one.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, just if we can add to 3K, which talks about the issues being raised by neighbours and residents, if we can add to the end of that provision at K, add the words, this part is to be considered in conjunction with 10.3, and then the word complaints, because that's a heading for 10.3, mm-hmm. of this plan. That then relates that to if it's a nighttime call, it has to be answered, etc. So we're just correlating that across about the timely fashion that will address that provision. And then you've got the CCS. I think that's pretty much it. I think we got most of the sections.
Did we deal with in the vicinity, how far that vicinity can go?
He said to the end of the premises. It's outside the front of the property, you can't take it from.
In the vicinity of the in the normal meaning of the word.
Okay, Mr. Carrillo, we're caving in on the definition of vicinity. Is that the normal used term, is it? And is that defined anywhere in the Liquor Act or anything like that? A licensing act?
It may be, but I don't think I could quote it off from memory, and nor do I profess to be an expert in licensing. I'm a town planner and have prepared the relevant documents, including the amendments to the plan of management. But generally, it is limited by the boundaries of the site.
All right. Well...
General, we specifically said, in addition to the boundaries of the site, it's the vicinity of the site that we've asked you, what do you think is the vicinity?
The problem is that the plan of management requires them to police the door. If they're not in front of the door, they'll be elsewhere and no one is on the door. So typically they have to be within a few steps of the door because there's only one person out there and we couldn't afford to put two out there.
But you have two. You already have two in the planning management.
Yeah, that's right.
And Mr. Carrillo, from my perspective, on occasion that may be required that you actually do have to man and have additional staff, and that is required, and yes, to maintain that door. But if there are issues going on that street during this trial period, it certainly needs to be addressed with additional staffing as required.
Would you ask him the question?
What are your thoughts on us requiring a second security guard to be outside given the extended hours and just issues that have arisen in the area?
It would actually create... It's an expensive impost. It's actually a pretty... It's a pretty quiet bar at that time of the morning. For the very few number of additional hours that are being proposed, it would probably soak up a lot of the revenue and would actually, after all this time, make it a fairly futile exercise and would probably jeopardise taking up the trial to have a further one outside for what is a very few number of patrons between midnight and 1:30 a.m. on four nights of the week. It would be a problem. But if it is your preference that you have them, should the occasion arise, to within 10 metres of the property boundary, then... And if it's required by a condition of consent, then I think we could reasonably comply with it.
There is, just looking at clause 10.1 on page 531, you do have two security guards in the plan of management when you've got entertainment on a Thursday, Friday and Saturday or any special approved day, which is those 10.
This is a definition that's come from Adele.
Oh. Oh, we can help you, Mr. Carrillo. Council staff has been good enough to look
it
up.
Put your finger on it because you'll lose it.
And it says, vicinity of licensed premises means any place less than 50 metres from any point on the boundary of the premises. So they can get quite a long way from the door.
Sorry, Mr. Carrillo, can you just turn your mic on? So you're okay to do the 50 metres given the definition that...
I think they're going to default to being on the door, but should an occasion arise, then within vicinity as you define it would be acceptable.
Well, what I'll do in 10.1 is add the definition.
Okay.
If that's all right.
Yes, good.
And I was going back to 10.1 because, Mr. McInerney, I thought you included... Just leave that there, I'll have to dictate it. That 10B required only one security guard to remain until all patrons have left the vicinity when there is no entertainment, not including any special approved. So you were talking about deleting something there, were you?
Which we have done.
When we did earlier.
Did we?
Yes, yeah, 2.7. This one, top words up here, 2.7b.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
But if I could add, Mr. Chairman, for Mr. Cirullo's education, 2.7b says a requirement is for two security guards will be deployed at the hotel. One security person will be deployed to the entrance of the hotel. The second security will be deployed to roam the hotel and the immediate vicinity of the hotel. So that would be within 50 metres of the hotel, as we now...
On those nights, between those times, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I think that definition would be useful to put into the management.
Yes. I would think probably in there... Can we insert in clause 2.7, item, E10, or we'll make it E11?
E11, yep.
Well, the definition of, I can just read, I think, rather
okay.
than that.
Okay.
Definition of vicinity of a licensed premises taken from the Liquor Act means any place less than 50 metres from any point on the boundary of the premises. Yes. Is that what you want?
Yeah,
the 10E, there's a bracket, it's 10E bracket 11. Bracket goes the other way. Yeah, that'll do.
Just also wondering in practice whether the publican, him or herself, and any of your staff that are in the hotel sort of act as backup if the second security guard or someone has to disappear outside to deal with something. Whether other people fulfil the role inside the pub during those times?
Typically, they're licensed security officers. You can't purport to be one if you're not.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Well, now, is that all the matters that we want to include? Okay. Can I just go back to where you've got 3K? Add the words, this part is to be considered. Where did we put that? I remember doing it, but it's not properly referenced. Is that on page 518?
519. So if you go to 3K, which is 519.
There was a cross reference.
Adding at the end.
Yeah, it's page 519.
At the end of K.
Yes, and it's 3 in brackets K.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think... 2.9. See, you've got 2.9e. It's two. The e is in brackets. And going back to the 10e11, it's e brackets again. 11 in brackets. The e is in brackets. Again. No, baby e. That's it. Okay. Is the panel now satisfied?
Yes,
thank
you.
Okay. Mr. Chair, just for Mr. Cirullo, what we're trying to do, Mr. Cirullo, and we'll just leave it still so you can take a picture, I actually understand that. as you can see, what we're trying to do is, within your trial period, is address the concerns that have clearly been raised and their legitimate concerns from the neighbours as well as concerns that we've identified. So from my perspective, I can't speak for on behalf of her, from my perspective, it would be a strong effort would be required to ensure that these things are complied with should you wish to continue the trial in the future beyond the one-year mark. I can completely see it. However, the issues put forward by the residents today were legitimate issues, and I think if you work well with the security and the staff, that it can actually be reasonably achieved. Clean area, quiet noise, ameliorate the noise, etc., and it can actually work for the trial period quite well.
Thank you. That's I appreciate Council and the panel's consideration of the matter and support. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Carrillo. Well, now, I've already read the panel's preliminary paragraph on the decision, and now we have all agreed on the amendments to the plan of management. So that encapsulates the panel's decision, in my view. Can I ask the panel to vote?
Aye.
Aye.
I agree.
Thank you. It's a unanimous vote. We'll now go on to item 7, which is development application DA 2019-00038 at 1/2 capital C Gladstone Street, Newtown, to demolish part of the premises and carry out ground and first floor alterations and additions to the building and use the premises as a brewery and restaurant operating 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. daily. Now I have four people listed to speak. There's a Marilyn Fairsky, an Ian Denham, a Danny Young, and a Daniel McNamara. Are those people all present? Oh, good. Thank you. Well, now, I think we saw Mr. Denham on site. He showed us his property. And was it Marilyn Fairsky we also saw on site? No, we didn't. Well, you better come forward too. You can speak in series. Then I take it, Mr. Young and Mr. McNamara, you're for the applicant, are you? All right, we'll take you afterwards. Thank you. Right. Now, Ms. Fairsky, you're speaking first.
Hi, I'm Marilyn.
And now, microphone.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Fairsky. I'm an artist and I live at 44 Wilford Street, Newtown, in a house that was built in 1880. I'm here today speaking on behalf of numbers 44, 42, 30 and 28 Wilford Street. We're long-term residents who have cohabited with a brewery, with a bar in our street for the past 6 years. My comments actually address the current DA, but from the perspective of the personal experience of someone who's lived just 4 metres across the road from a microbrewery and who is living just 50 metres as the crow flies from the proposed new brewery. We happily coexist with and don't complain about the busy, noisy entertainment precinct in Enmore Road. And we're not trying to wind back the clock to 1999 when we moved in. We're concerned that this DA does go ahead, that it will add to the creep of the entertainment precinct in Enmore Road that's already happening in our immediate neighbourhood. And this creep is sort of basically taking over the remaining residentially zoned streets, which are very old streets. And we're also very concerned about the precedent it will set to allow Young Henry's to apply for an extension to its current activities, and which in its initial DA very closely resembled the conditions that are being sought for in the current DA and which have been approved by council. So we're in Wilford Street, we are very nervous about the outcome of this DA. Mm-hmm. Our written submission provides a snapshot of just what it's like to live so close to a craft brewery and the impacts that it's had on our street. Mm-hmm. This doesn't mean that the operation itself intrinsically has anything wrong with it, but you need to ask, is the site fit for purpose? Just because an operation is allowed, it doesn't mean that it's good for the neighbourhood. As we've found out in Wilford Street, the necessity to make a profit always overrides any concern for residents. Boundaries are always pushed and they soon become the new normal. The Inner West Council assessment of the DA claims that it demonstrates that subject to recommended conditions, the proposal will have minimal impact in the locality. I respectfully, strongly disagree with this. I read the report right through and could find no such demonstration. Instead, there was plenty of confidence in the ability of management to contain noise and privacy and patrons' behaviour outside the premises and to manage pollution, traffic and waste issues. And yet again, residents are being asked to trust that management will self-monitor and modify its behaviour and the behaviour of its patrons of their own accord.
Thank you. We'll let you continue, but be aware that 3 minutes has gone.
Okay, perhaps I could be the missing third person.
Okay, thank you.
I won't speak for three more minutes, but I very much appreciate this opportunity and your patience.
Okay.
So in the first 3 years of Young Henry's being in our neighbourhood, they breached their condition of operations many times. So many times, in fact, that which I've outlined in the written submission that we presented, that residents were left with no recourse until after two detailed submissions over 12 months were made to the former New South Wales Office of Liquor, Gaming and Racing and subsequent negative findings handed down, that trading hours and other conditions were more or less observed, but we still had to be on the ball, and the council ranger's hands always seemed to be tied. This is an exhausting process for residents who are wearied and dispirited by having to become serial complainers in order to maintain any amenity in their street. This DA states that the area is in transition to a mixed-use business park. Where does this leave residents like us who live at the interface of two zones? We hope that residential still means something in a suburb where restaurants, bars and now it seems breweries are replacing the craft workshops and artist studios that peacefully coexisted with residential dwellings until very recently. We ask that if this DA goes ahead, that at the very least the new brewery be constrained by the same operating conditions as Young Henry currently operates under. That is 7 a.m. to 7 p.m, no live music, and council oversight around noise and operating hours so residents don't have to constantly monitor it themselves. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Fiersko. Any questions from the panel? No? Thank you. Now, Mr. Denham.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, panel members. This morning, a couple of my neighbours and I had the opportunity to show members of the panel aspects of the site, and this afternoon I'm very grateful for the opportunity of speaking to you about how we see the development affecting our neighbourhood. I'm just one voice, of course, but I've spoken to 12 or so neighbours along Phillip Street. I don't know whether I speak on their behalf, but certainly they're all hoping similar things to me, and their concerns are very similar to mine. So what I'm saying to you is partly on their behalf as well, and what I'm saying is, I think you know, is that I don't think the development should proceed in its present form, either on a trial basis, which is what's proposed, or at all. I'll speak first very briefly about the physical size of what's proposed to be built, and then I'll speak again. I'll speak secondly about...
Now, we were at your property.
That's right, and I'll just take you back through some of those.
We've seen what you were concerned about.
Yep.
Bear in mind the 3 minutes.
Very conscious of that. So what I wanted to say about the size of the building was that although it may meet the development regulations for the site, and council's planner has expressed a view about that, and I'm not a planning lawyer, so I don't know, but for me it's about the interface between that, and as Marilyn said, between that and its neighbours, keeping the amenity of the neighbouring properties, of which mine is one. And of course, it's those interface issues that are less easy to define that mean that these decisions are made by a panel such as you rather than a ticker box process. So I'm very grateful for the fact that humans are deciding this rather than robots. I wanted to talk about bulk and scale. I did show you this morning about the size of what's proposed. I used a tree in next door to my yard as a guide to what I think the height will be. You will know from the papers that a prior application on the same site was knocked back by the Land and Environment Court on the basis of bulk and scale along Phillip Lane. There has been the slightest of concessions to that in the amended or in this totally new application, but I think the same issues remain as remained and were determined by the Land and Environment Court a year or two ago. What I forgot to show you this morning was the visibility of that tree from the streetscape of Phillip Street, not from the back lane but on the street, and how that's visible now and how the building will dwell behind the strip of houses